My name is Kendra Mary Pelu-Joaquin. My ancestors likely came on boats from Portugal and the British Isles through Ellis Island, except for a handful who came down through Canada. My mountain is Green Mountain. My river is the Providence River. My grandparents were Tiwe MacDonald, Jackie Ward, Ed Joaquin, and Belle Myra Soares. My parents are Tom Joaquin, Patricia MacDonald, Gretchen Breeze, and John Luca. This is what the Maori call a mihi. And if we all did it together, then it would be called a mihi mihi. And this is a formal greeting that I learned when I visited Aotearoa, which is the land that the Maori call, they call the land Aotearoa. Colonizers call it New Zealand. We call it New Zealand. I went there to study the childcare centers and the schools there for very young children about 15 years ago. And before we could go, we all had to prepare our mihi. And this was tricky for me. I'll tell you a little bit more about myself later, but it was hard to figure out what to choose. Some people who had stayed very rooted, it was very clear for them what their mountain might be, what their river would be. For Maori people, they also named their waka, which is the boat that brought their people to Aotearoa over 2,000 years ago. And so that oral tradition has been handed down so that people can name the canoe that their people used. So that to me is a really strong sense of belonging. And that's what we're here to talk about today is belonging. So I learned a lot about belonging when I went to Auckland. There are five strands of, I'm gonna give you a small pedagogical lesson, but it's very short. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, their curriculum for young children is called Te Whariki, which means the mat that can hold all of us. We can all stand on this mat. And it's woven together of different strands. And the five strands, the five things that every child must know are mana atua, which is well-being. Mana whenua, which is belonging. Mana tangata, which is contribution. Mana reo, which is communication. And mana aturoa, which is exploration. So those are the five things every child must learn. That's what their licensing looks at when they come to visit their childcare centers, which as an early childhood educator blows my mind. But these are the five things children must know. Well-being, belonging, contribution, communication, and exploration. And so they've figured out, that means if you know that this is what children must learn, then people have to learn the skills, the dispositions of belonging. And they were really demonstrated there quite clearly. One teacher asked what is a very common question when you visit a preschool. She said, how do you deal with the transition from preschool to kindergarten? These preschools are beautiful and very warm and cozy, but what about when they go to real school? And they said, oh, we were visiting a school that's called a Tanugareo, which is a Maori language nest. So all the children there were learning Maori, and they had Maori ancestors. And she said, here's what we do. We take the child. We just did this last week. It was this girl. We brought her to her new school. She's going to go there in the fall. And we sing a song. We ask the principal to come outside. And we sing a song to the principal. And all the children, each one takes a turn telling the principal, here is something I love about this friend of mine. And we say, this is our gift, and we're giving her to you. So please treat her with care. And then, you know, so many of us were sort of in tears, right? But this is like the spirit of belonging. Like, how can that child not have an easy transition, right? And how can that principal not care for that whole being when all of these people have entrusted her with them? Another thing that I learned was that there were Maori grandmas, is how they referred to them. There are Maori grandmas at every childcare center, whether they were a Maori language nest or not. And there was a time, just like here, where people looked and said, oh my gosh, it's important that we have high quality educators in our classrooms. And so you need to be able to prove this by taking an exam, and you have to take tests and you have to take classes, which is a fine idea. And the Maori grandmas spoke beautiful English, but were functionally illiterate in English. They didn't ever learn how to read and write English. And so taking a college class or three was going to be difficult for them. And so you can imagine how this might happen in another culture where people might say, sorry, Maori grandmas, you know, you can't be here anymore, or we're going to have to change the kind of work that you do because you can't be considered a highly qualified teacher. But because of the sense of belonging that's so important there, they said, okay, so how can we help these people become highly qualified teachers? And they created an oral curriculum that was taught completely orally, and they had oral exams so that these women could learn what they needed to learn to become highly qualified educators in the way that suited them, and they could stay in the classroom the way that they always had been because they were so valued in the community. If you've spent any time in schools in the United States, you may find this very different from the sense of belonging that we have or don't have here. So I grew up in the military. My father was in the Navy. He served on a submarine for many years. It was very interesting growing up watching my mother as a Navy wife. I learned from a very young age to be very proud of my adaptability as a Navy brat. I was the new kid at school often, and I felt comfortable in that role. And I had been told that I had skills that made me an adaptable person. And so I thought that meant that I could belong anywhere. My mom had a really hard time belonging in the military. I remember when my brother and sister were born, they're twins. We lived in Atlanta, Georgia. And 6 weeks later, we drove cross country to San Diego. So my mother was mother to twins, and she knew no one in her community, no one even on that coast. My father had to go to work. And so there's a story that I understood in one way that I now understand in a different way. The story was very simple. I was 3 years old when the twins were born, so my mother would nurse them and then probably fall asleep. And then I would go off to play all by myself at 3 years old. And the story was about how safe Navy neighborhoods were, because this three-year-old could just wander off. And then my mother, this one day, woke up, and I was nowhere around. So she went next door, and she said, "Have you seen Kendra?" And she felt embarrassed. And the person said, "She was here, but she left. I think she went down the street to so-and-so's house." And someone goes, "Oh." She's got the stroller with the two babies, and she goes down to the next house and the next house. And finally, she found me playing in the home of some school-aged children, and I was playing with all their toys. They were at school, and their mom said, "Oh, it's fine, I don't mind." And so that story had been about my bravery and exploration. It had been about the safety of Navy neighborhoods, but now I see it as about my mom's lack of belonging. You know, in my life now, if I needed to sleep, I have people I love who would come over and take my son, and I wouldn't feel embarrassed about that. So I learned a little bit about that right before I had my son. My mom was working at a school, and she got one of those emails that some of us may have gotten that said, Lyle's wife is having a baby, and we're going to start a soup train, and we're all going to deliver food to his house because he's having a new baby. And my mom called me, and she was so pissed. And she said, "He's not even having the baby. Like, they're perfectly healthy. Why can't they make their own food?" And she was getting really irritated. I said, "Mom, you don't have to bring them soup." She said, "I just don't understand what they're doing." And I said, and I realized this was still, you know, from 30 years ago when my brother and sister were born, you know, this is how wounded she felt by not having people to bring her food. So I learned a lot about belonging that way. And I realized later that I didn't necessarily feel like I belonged everywhere. That wasn't what the Navy taught me. But it taught me to be okay with not belonging, which was often the case. And it taught me the things that I needed to do to get to the place of belonging when I got someplace. The Maori teachers, because they measure children's belonging, they have these four ways that we have to belong. The first way is that our belonging is across our families and our communities. So our families and our other communities are welcome in the place where we belong. The second is it's a sense of place. You feel connected to a physical place, whether that be the land or the buildings there. The third is that you feel comfortable and you understand the cultural norms of the place, the culture. And the fourth is that the rules and agreements are things that you know and are ready to follow. When I think about coming to this church, this was part of my understanding of belonging here. I moved to Boston from Seattle, where I had a wonderful church community. And I shopped around a lot of churches, and I didn't find this one. And I didn't find one that that felt right for me. So I did other things on Sunday mornings for many years. And then when my son was born, and then shortly after, my mom became very sick. And I realized that I was going to lose her, and that, holy cow, I needed a place to belong real quick, because I was going to need the things that you get from a church, right, when I lost my mom. So I came here with my sister when my son was not yet two. And the music, my family are all musicians, so I was so struck by the music in terms of that culture question, right? The culture here made good sense to me. The place is so beautiful and really appealed to me. Of course, the principles are part of who I am now. You know, those are those rules and agreements. And the culture of being welcomed so at coffee. And I think Robin had made one of his spicy dips that day, which is definitely part of my home culture. And so I felt like I belonged here. And to compare it with my mom, you know, so my, as I was talking, I remember I was talking to Jessica about cycling around Boston, and my son was running around, you know, as a toddler will, and I felt very comfortable. I didn't feel embarrassed, and I felt so at ease that other people would redirect my son or greet him, even though he was a toddler. So I felt like I belonged here from a very early days. The song that we sang and that we're about to sing again is by Tom Hunter. And he was an early childhood educator and a folk singer, and I may have sung some of his songs for some of you. He started something called the Pacific Northwest Teachers Camp, which has now become the Green Mountain Teachers Camp. And it's a place where my family and I feel like we belong when we go there. And his songs were all about creating belonging for children and families of all different backgrounds. And the song that we sang together feels so welcoming to me. I use it in my work often, this idea that not just that we're happy to see you, but we've been waiting for you. When I arrive at Green Mountain Teachers Camp, our cabin always says, "Simon and Kendra, we've been waiting for you to come to this place," in a big handwritten sign. And I can't tell you how welcoming that feels. And the song that is a song that I often use with children, and the reason that I love it is because it includes every part of who we are. It doesn't have to just be what's good about you or what's desirable. You can sort of say, like, if you hate being at school, we've been waiting for you, you know? If you got hit on the head, we've been waiting for you. You can sing all the different parts of who you are. So I'd like to invite you to think a little bit about your experience here, and we're going to sing the song again, yeah? Later, not right now, sorry. But later we're going to sing the song again, and you can have in your mind something you might like to call out during those parts where we say, you know, da, 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 we've been waiting for you. If you make spicy dip, we've been waiting for you. So I want us to think about, as we leave today, about belonging as something that is an inherent human need. That's what I learned when I went to Aotearoa. And it's a human need that can only be met in community. We can't meet that need for belonging all by ourselves. We can only meet it together. So that's what I'd like to think about today. Thank you.